Good morning, good morning, my loves.
Good morning.
Our theme today is you have never seen a tree. And a moment's review on last week as well. So take a breath and rest in the truth of your own divine self. Recognize there is no person here to speak, and there is no person present to listen. Recognize only the self is present. If talking is happening, it is of the self. If listening seems to be taking place, this too is of the self. The self in awareness of word sounds, which is called speaking and listening. There is but one presence, one life, one self, one being. This infinite, unborn, formless presence is the you that you are. We may dream of being separate. We may dream of being born, and we may dream of death. But we awake from that dream of liberty, limitations. And we recognize we have always been the one pure presence. So take a breath and rest back. Okay. Now, I hope everyone got the gist of what was being spoken last week. That the words that are spoken are not it. Okay? They have to be taken into the silence and rest with them there until they are your own. Like the math teacher. All that could be shown was to give the students the information and instructions. But they had to take it in and make it their own so that it could then flow freely in them and unfold its deep meanings. And in this case, of math for them. And it is the same for us as the student listening to spiritual words. We must take them in and make them our own. Okay, for today, we are taking up the concept that you have never seen a tree. Excuse me for just a moment. Now, We all seem to have this something called, and I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly, pareidolia. Okay. And this is what is called that tendency that we have to perceive images in random patterns, at where we can see things in inanimate objects. And so it's a phenomena, of where we perceive shapes in clouds or perhaps in rock formations, or as I have in the piling on rugs. But anything is game for this phenomena. Any surface, any object is game for this way of seeing. So then we see the animals and we see faces and all kinds of forms in the clouds or any object. I know as a kid I used to lay back on the ground and watch the clouds and look for different objects and things in those clouds. And I could see them, I could find them. It was quite fun. So now I, after all all these years, I see that it has a name. It's actually a thing that the human brain does. Okay. And it's like, some time ago, someone saw a face on a piece of toast. I think it was the face of Jesus on a piece of toast. And or we see rabbits, and I used to see dragons and clowns and all kinds of things in the clouds. And seeing a man in the moon, we all say, "Oh, look, there's the man in the moon." And but these are only a few examples. But the brain seems to be wired to do this. So what I'm doing here is I'm just throwing this out for you. I'm kind of doing this to get another point to you, as this is the same, or this is some of the ways of what goes on with us in regard to how we see the world. Okay. So we literally see things that aren't really there. They're not real, they're not truth, but we see them anyway. Okay. Are we all with me so far? I don't want to lose you on the corners here, okay? So most of our early life was spent being taught and learning how to identify forms and objects. We have our little books, apple, and orange, and turn the page, there's a picture in the shape. Umbrella, and then there's another shape in the book, and hat. So most of our early time we spend seeing these shapes and forms and then labeling them. Okay. So our brain is conditioned to do that. And it's a conditioning of through the parents and through the teachers and through society that you must call this object something, right? And even if we don't recognize the name or the labeling of the form, we can take a good guess. So what happens is when I do this, Did the mind just jump up and tell you what that was? So we see a form and immediately either hear silently or we might even speak it. Oh, that's a it's a bell. But were you aware when mind pushed in and told you what it was? So today, I want us to work on seeing through that phenomena of the conditioning to reality. There is only absolute reality, and all the worlds are an appearance of that reality. They're but an appearance. And going back, step one, what's our definition of reality? Infinite, unchanging. It's one of the definitions of reality. Okay. Any questions so far? I want to make sure we're all on the same page here. Now, I hope that you're all up for just a little bit of quantum physics. Now, let's begin with the largest part, and the largest part is going to be the form. So we're going to take that, but we're going to look at the so-called material objects from a different view, maybe one you've done in school long ago, maybe you never even thought about doing, but I'm going to take you there. All so-called material objects have a molecular structure. Okay, so I'm sure everyone is understanding that. And that molecular structure is made up of atoms, right? Okay. And that the atoms are made up of subatomic particles. But then beyond the subatomic particles of this form, whatever the form, well, we'll stay with this. Okay. So whatever this is, it is made up. Its formation is made up of molecules. The molecules made up of atoms. Atoms have subatomic particles. And beyond the subatomic particles, we have wave energies or energy waves. And then beyond those waves of energy, we have something that you might hear in some spiritual teachings, the void. And beyond that void is consciousness. So let's look at that again. We have what we believe to be here in this particular object, in this form, we believe we have some kind of solid object. We believe the hands that are holding it are solid objects. We believe that the arms and the shoulders, the neck, we believe there are, say, two solid objects here that are in your attention at this moment. Now, both objects are made up of molecules, right? And then comes the atoms to the molecules, or in as a molecule. Subatomic particles become what we call the atom. The atom becomes what we call molecules. Beyond the subatomic particles are energy waves. The waves emanate subatomic particles. Subatomic particles emanate the atom. Atom animates the molecules. The molecules form themselves into different shapes and forms. But beyond that void, back to beyond that void, is consciousness. So we have consciousness, energy waves, atomic, subatomic particles, atoms, and molecules. And that's pretty much the extent of my science knowledge here. So, but the consciousness which is beyond the void is that which is what we call the one self, the absolute, the God. And also that which is the screen or structure upon which all this phenomena seems to be taking place. So now we can look at this with new understanding, with new realization or recognition. Perhaps some of you have done this already to deconstruct what appears to be a solemn form. And when we sit with this recognition in our ponderings, in our contemplations, we are led through reasoning beyond words and thoughts. All right. Any questions so far?
I have one, Mary.
Yes, love.
Who came up with the word or the idea of molecule or atom?
That I would suppose would be the scientists as they viewed these different things under microscopes.
Okay, so they decided that was
those were just the labels that they put on the forms that they were able to recognize. And I am presuming what they can't see is theory, quantum theory, or whatever it would be called. But again, they labeled it just like mind, when you saw this, gave the label that the mind had been given when we were kids, this particular shape and form. We were given that.
So the molecules and the atoms are coming from where?
That thread that we just went through.
Yeah.
We have the form.
Right.
The form is of molecules. The molecules are of atoms. The atoms have their subatomic particles. I'm not sure those are viewable at this time. And beyond that are the waves that generate those subatomic particles. And beyond those waves are what some of the spiritual studies will call the void. You will hear that in your non-duality philosophies, the void.
So are the waves coming out of the void?
Yes. And
Okay.
beyond that void is where we recognize that it's consciousness, because beyond that void is the silence,
Silent.
the absolute silence,
Okay.
which is the presence.
Okay.
So
Thank you.
you're welcome, though. Kate, yes, sir.
Would you say that consciousness is the same as the essence that is the gold in the charm bracelet?
Yes, so yes.
Okay, so
Consciousness is
the gold in the charm bracelet creates, let's just say, the forms through your process.
right.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Just like it did this.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. The origin of this goes all the way to consciousness.
And consciousness is the essence or the
Beyond
gold in.
the void, which from we have some, yeah, we have that, and we have the steps up to the phenomena of what we call world. But all of this is in consciousness. The world is not outside of consciousness. Okay. Everything remains within consciousness because consciousness is all that is. Okay.
Yeah. Hey,
So,
Mary.
yes, love.
So one thing that might be interesting, and you probably know this, but it's kind of physicists have found is they did that wave experiment, or not, what do they call it? And
Pardon.
so they only there's only a separate form. What they found was only when it's observed, there's no separation
Right,
ever,
right. This
unless,
little
yeah, okay.
progression that I've just showed you is not like a step ladder. It is all at the same time. Is that what you're meaning?
No, I just mean what the quantum physicists have found is
Oh, yeah.
that there
Okay.
is no form until it's
It
observed.
until it's observed. Yes. Yes. And y'all can kind of step into that a little later if you like. But it's true. It's like you come out of the bedroom, you go into the kitchen, you cannot verify whether that bedroom is still there or not. So that's kind of what you mean, Alice?
No, actually, what the experiment found was they did this experiment of putting, through these pinholes, and they thought what they would see on the other side were
Oh, yes, I know
dots.
that. Yeah,
And the
right.
only time it was a dot is when there was
It's
something observing, and it didn't have to be a
observing it.
person. It could
Right.
just be a machine.
Okay.
Didn't have to be a person.
Gotcha.
That's what they discovered. And so
Yes.
whenever they put the
Yeah.
machine there to observe it, what they thought would happen happened. When there was nothing observing it, it was always a wave.
Thank you. Yeah. Gary? No?
Well, I was going to say, if everything is consciousness, then nothing exists but consciousness. It's just the way that we interpret what we think we're seeing. God, that's vague, but
Yes, in a, yes, because you're interpreting this structure as a specific object,
Form or object.
specific form, right?
Okay.
And you can hold that up and say it's glass. I mean, you can hold that up and say it's,
Exactly. You can say it's carved glass. It's elongated.
Exactly. There's
All
not just
kinds.
one thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is the way the brain is wired, that the moment it views an object, it will go to the labeling, go immediately to the labeling. And that's how we see it. We see it through the labels that have been impressed upon us. That's how we view the world, through through the labels.
Yeah, but the labels don't really matter.
No, but we don't know that yet.
Oh, okay.
We don't know, because we are so accustomed to living through that little veil of labels. So we always identify, the brain or the mind will always identify a form based on what it has either been conditioned to recognize it as, or through study, or however. But through what we're doing today, I hope you're going to be able to see that that's not what's here. Okay. So when we view the world, and we maybe even struggle to see the presence of God here because of the way we are accustomed to viewing anything, which is usually with that conditioning or opinions or judgments in some way. Yes, love.
But it's not enough to just know that intellectually. We must perceive reality.
Correct. And reality is right here.
And always, no matter what you lift up, that would be
Always,
true.
always has been. Reality is there. We are not accustomed to seeing that reality is here,
Right.
be it through with this particular form that has the label of Mary on it, or this particular form that has the label of bell, crystal, glass, carved, whatever. So that is our viewing of the world. That's how we view everything, through the labeling.
Okay, thank you.
So some of you might be working on this to see things differently and more clearly. But I was having a good time making notes for this one as well. Okay. So what I want to do right now is have a little exercise, and just get some idea of just how conditioning does color a world for us where there is only the one presence. Okay. So in this, we see the label. We don't see the presence that is actually present. All right, so it's my little, is a makeshift. I had better ones, but I left the tablet at home. So, I want you to just follow a breath in and just follow it in deeply. Let the shoulders drop. Okay. Follow it, and then follow a breath out. The releasing, letting go. And withdrawing your attention from the thoughts, just let them be little ships in the night floating by for now. Okay. And again, I'll follow a breath in. Deep down breath all the way down into the belly. And then follow a breath out. Just body relaxing. Okay. Now, for our exercise, you're going to have to open your eyes. Going to be. And here again, watch mind. Pay attention to the mind as you look at this first little picture. And just see what happens. Could you feel the mind push to label it? It's all about clear seeing, right? Okay. So there's going to be a little image here. Again, watch mind. Okay. So, but even if mind gives a push, I want you to move past that. I want you to move past what mind is telling you this is, and I want you to imagine molecules. I think of them as little undetermined or funny shaped circles. Yeah, funny shaped circle. I should have done a picture of a molecule, sorry. But just imagine a molecule. Okay. Rather than what mind is attempting to report. Okay. So keep an eye on mind. Okay, so how are we at now? We have number three. But I want you to imagine you have a microscope and imagine the molecules all together in this formation. And then imagine the atoms in as the molecules and then the subatomic particles and then the waves of energy, light energy. Just imagine. Even if mind is pushing to say, that's not it, it's this. Okay. All right. So here's another one. And I want you to try to imagine those molecules. Not the labels, maybe. Okay. And then from the molecules to the atoms. And then to the subatomic particles. Then the waves of light energy. And now imagine a void. One more. So again, I want you to try to imagine molecules. I don't know if that helps. I'm just thinking of a molecule as something, just a blob, a blob, a blob. Looks like a peanut. Okay. Where is my? There we go. So, number five, take a breath and pay attention to mind. Now, we have the molecules. We're going to go beyond the molecule to the atom and beyond the atom. And we're going to pass the subatomic particles. We're just drifting down into this form. And then we have the energy waves. And we're drifting beyond, even beyond the void, going beyond the void. And we're just going to take a breath and we're going to rest in the real. Pay attention to mind. What is it? It's tempting. It tempts us with labels. So, this is how we can practice to deconstruct what we have been taught was a solid world, a real world. And we're going to take that down to its truth and take that world down to its reality. And in doing this, we're going to be able to then recognize why we have never seen a tree. Okay? So we recognize that they're like a wired mechanism system in the brain that can see images and forms where there are none. Going back to seeing a dragon in a cloud or a rabbit in the cloud. And as the faculty moves out and views different objects, that mind is also interpreting the labels that it was given in regards to a particular shape, in regards to a particular form. So if we take that tree through the same process, recognizing first the, here we go, molecules and then the atoms, atomic particles, energy waves, void, consciousness, God, absolute, whatever you choose to call that something that is. Now, the reality of that is already within us. We have the grace of understanding within us. And we can recognize that the world truly is not as I have always thought it to be. So if we can deconstruct the objects, then we come and we can deconstruct the thoughts as well. We can see clear enough through a little practice of doing this that what I always thought was the world is not the world at all. It's just another, it's another story. It's just another image, and whether that image seems to be in your mind of imagination or it seems to be out there, it is still imaginary, because what is there is yourself, your own identity. What better way to recognize oneness than to understand that everything that seems to be a solid object, separate and apart from one another, actually is all of the very same thing. No differentiation. It's all the same essence, the same light, the same love, the same life, but however you want to call that. It is all of the very same undescribable presence. It's all of the same thing. And that's what you are, that presence. So when I speak, take a breath and rest back, that means just rest back in your own being, in that stillness that is the nature of one, because you are that one. Okay. Now, that's not to say we don't use the common terms when we're speaking with others. They think we're a little off. If we try to say, well, that glass isn't really there, or that mug isn't really there, that chair isn't really there. Yeah, that's the absolute. That chair is not really there in the way that we have been taught to believe that that chair is there. I'm not saying that the object is not there. I'm saying that through our conditioning, we are not understanding exactly what truly is there. And what is truly there is yourself. It's not that yourself is just other human forms, occupying human forms. Everything, we say everything, is the self. Everything is the one self, the one presence. Okay, are we still together here? All right. Gary?
Yeah, so we attempt to form consciousness into a desired object.
Yes, that is
and
what
we
we
tell
do.
Those that are not desirable.
Right.
But they're all the same thing.
It's all the same thing. Yeah.
I have a book to recommend to all of you.
Okay.
If you
write
haven't
it down,
found it,
I'm gonna
it's
write
called
it down.
Yeah, write it down. I think what Gary's saying and Mary, you're pointing to this ancient idea. And this book is called The One. And it's by Henrik Pass, H-E-I-N RICH PAS. PAS is his last name. And the
Oh, wait a minute.
subtitle
Spell
is
through that again. Henry. Henry with an I.
H-E-I-N, Henrich.
H-E-I-N.
Heinrich.
Heinrich.
PAS, PAS. It's the one. And
P-A-S.
how an ancient idea holds the future of physics. And Mary, what you just went through is exactly, he has a chapter in here called The Conscious One. And you really got to the nitty-gritty really fast. But really that what you're looking at, that whatever you held up, and what you were saying is we're all looking at that, but what the quantum physicists are finding is that a quantum object can be seen as a localized particle or as an extended wave or anything in between. And if you were looking for the velocity of it, then you'd see something totally different. So what they realize is we have a choice of what we see and what kind of world we live in. And you're just agreeing with yourself or with somebody outside of yourself of what you're seeing, because that's what you started with. Yeah. So we're just agreeing or not agreeing with something within or without, probably something without most times. Like you started with the book in school. This is an orange. This is an apple. So we're agreeing with something outside of ourselves. But, that observer, nothing is there without us observing it. There's nothing. That's what they've come to. There's absolutely nothing there.
Nothing is there.
Nothing.
Yep. And oftentimes you'll hear it said as no thing rather than nothing. There's no thing there. Because we call, well, this is a thing, and the book is a thing, this is a thing, but there's no thing there. Because what is there is consciousness. But consciousness is not a thing, it is not an object. So we'll often say there's no thing there. But yeah, I will type this up and put it in the email that when I send the tape. But what I'm trying to bring you to here by this deconstruction is to begin to understand deeply that there truly is but one. There's just one. And at some point, we can even see that there's not even that one. What is just is. We have a label for it. We call it one. And I'm saying eventually that that will drop us. It is. It's gets to that point. But to do this little exercise, it will be very beneficial for you to begin to turn the corner with mind in another direction, away from the solidified material world. Turn away from that and see more clearly. It's about clear seeing, right? And you can do the same thing with your body. You might even feel sensations as you go along with that. Deconstruct the body back to consciousness. Same way. Yes, love.
Mary, when you said to watch your mind, I watched how I was resisting seeing it your way.
That's okay.
No, but it was great.
I do
I saw
understand, yeah.
it was like, this is too much. My mind was going, oh, this is too much for me to understand, blah, blah, blah. But then when I just like waited with it, my eyes went to my paintings, and I realized that that's what my paintings have been showing me. This other, I don't, it's kind of a lot to say right now, but I so appreciate what you, how you
Follow
simplified it.
me into no thing.
Follow you into that
No, into
ether.
no thing. Yeah.
You
Yeah.
got it. Oh my God. Oh boy. It takes a lot to get through this mind. It has a smoke screen. Thank you,
Gotcha.
Mary, so
You're
much.
welcome. You're welcome.
Mary,
Yes, love.
I had this sensation like a cat watching, a hole in the wall when you were getting ready to bring the next picture up. I was staring at it like ready to pounce on it, right? And almost like a quiz. But I need to ask you, do minds influence other minds? Like, if I'm in a room where people don't like, say a certain food that's being served, if I don't identify with the same thing, the same feeling, will that influence enough people influence, what they're thinking? If that
It
makes sense.
would, yeah, it would be the emanation of the energy that is flowing from your heart. That would be, if they were willing, if there was an openness to change their perspective, that could happen.
But the heart energy is probably stronger than mental energy.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mental energy is based on duality, because the thinking and thoughts and all that that goes on, it's all mental. When you are silent and only love is emanating, yeah, that's a way higher energy than thoughts. But that should not be your concern, because if you are seeing others separate from that love, you haven't deconstructed the whole shebang yet. But you can go into the room in the knowingness that only I am present. But it's like, it's more silent than mind chatter. Yeah, you go in. But yes, this is how, when we meditate into the in silence, where we're not contemplating, we're not doing anything with the mind, we are just sitting in the silence. That energy does permeate out. It permeates consciousness. I mean, the energy that's flowing of you at that moment dissipates and through the whole of consciousness, and those that are ready will feel that. They will feel something, and perhaps a seed might sprout and start to grow from that energy. But be not concerned about what you might think to be others, and keep the attention on your own self, your own divine presence, and walk in that way, rather than, well, if I'm really nice and kind and I have light flowing from my heart, then I'm going to walk into the room and these people are going to be kind and nice and loving. And you've lost it. You've given everything to mind. So take it back and just keep your attention on yourself, on the self, knowing that that self is the same self utilizing those bodies over there. It's the same self. the same essence, the same presence. Yeah, so rest in that and let whatever is to be, just let it be.
Thank you.
Gary?
I was just wondering, is that the same principle as the 10 righteous men?
10 righteous men. I don't know if I'm familiar with that.
Well, it's in scripture that a city could not be destroyed if it had 10 righteous men.
I don't know. I'd have to read that and then kind of contemplate it, but
Well, the principle is that if you have enough people around perceiving consciousness correctly, it would be enough to change the outcome of a war.
yes. Okay. Yes, I'm with you now.
Maybe I
I
wasn't
can
expressing it right.
accept that. Yes, I can accept that. That if you had righteous men would be those living as the God presence that they are,
Right.
holy, living it without mind stuff.
It's just that when
Yes,
Peggy
because
asked that question, it reminded me of that you can influence it and you concurred because as opposed to mind, a realization of the presence could be sufficient enough to change a tide.
because in reality, there's nothing out there but yourself anyway, and that self is the very presence of unconditioned love. So I can see that. Yes. I wouldn't see it though as a mind activity.
Right, you can't
Yeah,
use it to
right.
manipulate,
You can't
right?
use the mind exactly. Yeah.
It would just be wrong, yeah.
Okay. I'm so glad we had so many comments in here. That was beautiful. I love that part when we're actually all here in a talk and not just me talking. This is beautiful. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Any more on the questions or comments? And we'll
I guess I'd just like you to take us a little deeper into to a realization of that rather than just words.
okay. Okay.
Man. Right. This reminds me all of a sudden of a few talks back, I don't remember when, of hearing from that spacious presence. And now, in some ways, what we're doing is seeing from that.
Okay, I'd have to go back. I can't think of what it might have been.
Like, I remember
If you come across it in
it was your whole talk, and it was about it just was so. Made me hear in another way. It made me my small hear.
Oh, pay
My
attention to the
when
listener.
yes,
Yes. Yeah.
okay. So now
Yes.
it's pay attention to the seer today.
Yes, kind of,
Kind
yes.
of, yeah. I
Yeah,
don't know.
yeah,
I feel it just feels like
yeah.
something expanded for me today in my seeing.
So you guys want to
Yes.
take up some more of this next week? Is that what I'm hearing?
More.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Maria, I have one question.
Yes, love.
Would this, what we experience today, in relation to like history books, would this negate what people put down as history? It was their
Well,
interpretation.
yes and no. From the spiritual level, yes, histories are just stories that the personas, the personal side of our life, has written about events and happenings to the probably the best of their ability. But at the other level, only the self is there. So the self was the Confederates, and the self was the Yankees. And it doesn't negate the experience, but it does negate that it was an actual reality.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. War seems like an actual reality thing. It is, if you can look at it from another way, it's actually one ego engaging another ego that doesn't see eye to eye with the ego. And that's where it comes from. But we all know that the ego does not have a true reality. So what the ego performs then does not mean that it's performing a true reality. It's like us when we walk, or seek to walk, and I don't care for that term, but seek to walk as our own true identity. We are not of a warring nature any longer. Our minds are cleansed. Our thoughts are seen clearly so that they do not influence any activities of the body, any actions of the body in an unloving or unkind manner. So the war is an experience of a conflict between egos. Does that make it real? Or does that just negate that? No, people will believe they've had the experience of war because that's where they are in their understanding. So I don't know if that answers what you were asking.
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. We'll come back to our physics class next week. All right, so I guess we'll call this one closed. Anyone else? Okay. So, excuse me. We'll have our prayer. Let us pray. Most beloved one, I leave this world behind as I accept the truth of being. I leave concepts. I leave mother, father, sister, and brother. I leave the ideas that would bind me to a mortal life and take up the life that is mine. I leave behind today the ties of frustration, doubt, judgment, and fear. I leave behind today the body and mind and accept only my oneness. And in that acceptance is my life eternal. Is my life whole and complete? I cannot know and feel the fullness of myself until I leave behind all that is not my own being. I take up today my one true life, which is that of spirit. Om. Amen. Namaste.